Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 13. I will not reread it, dear friends in Christ. Jesus has set his face now towards Jerusalem, and he is making his way through small towns and villages. And as he is teaching, he is asked a rather interesting question. Lord, will those who are saved be few? This question is interesting because the rabbis taught that all Jews would be in heaven. Much like many Christian preachers today who believe in a universalism view of God's order and rejecting the teachings of Jesus, teaching that there is indeed no hell and that, well, all good dogs go to heaven as Disney taught us, right? They teach basically, do good, try your best, and you will be in heaven. Jesus is showing us that he is not only a great teacher, but he is true God, knowing the thoughts of our hearts and our minds, and he directs the questioner to a better question. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. See, he's taking this man from focusing on, will other people be there to, will you? And that's highly important for us all. Jesus tells the hearer to strive. The Greek there, agonizomai. We get agonized from that. To fight. We might be tempted to say, to work hard to enter through the narrow door. When this striving is misunderstood, one could be led to the false belief of thinking that it is something that we do. But it's not. Just look at the text. Then you will begin to say, we ate and we drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. This is a similar attitude, a similar response that Jesus is bringing up when he talks about the separating of the sheep and the goats. They will also answer, that is the goats, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. When we reject our neighbors in their time of need, we reject Jesus. This is too much for us to bear if we believe it's our works that are going to get us to heaven because, well, there are too many neighbors. Our striving, if we think our striving saves us, it's just too much. So if you want to be able to work your way to heaven, you have to make Jesus optional. And that option is not safe. Do you understand how hopeless our condition is on our own? To drive the point home, Jesus tells all self-righteous people, when once the master of the house has arisen to shut the door and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer, I do not know where you came from. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. Remember our reading from the last couple of weeks from Hebrews chapter 11. The writer was driving home this simple point. By faith. Right? By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith etc. As our confessions put it, only justified people who are led by the Spirit of Christ can do good works. Without faith and Christ as mediator, good works do not please God. This is what makes faith in the substitutionary work of Jesus so vitally important to all of us. For only Jesus has kept the whole law. Only Jesus loves God and neighbor endlessly. Only Jesus died the sinner's death, knowing no sin, and rose on the third day for sinners like you and me. And then exchanges to us his perfect righteousness. When the believer sees that Jesus is the narrow door and the only door to salvation, and that we enter only by grace of God and the gift of faith, we can have peace. Even when chaos and everything else is around us. Luther put it this way: for even though you know that he, that is Jesus, is God's Son, that he died and rose again, and that he sits at the right hand of the Father, you have not yet learned Christ aright, until you also believe that he did all this for your sake in order to help you. And I might add, because we need it. We have to have it. You see, the door is narrow. There's only one way. No one comes to the Father except through him. It's a one at a time kind of door, if you want to think about it that way. I found it interesting. I was reading through some memes that were sent to me a few weeks back, and even our culture seems to understand that in their music, right? We have a stairway to heaven but a highway to hell, based on traffic patterns, I assume. But understand this. My faith can't save my wife. My faith can't save my children. And neither can yours. Only God-given faith can save you. Even though it is offered for all. But this is not saying that we can keep our mouths shut about the hope that is in us. For God has chosen us to do his work through his means. And he has chosen foolish things like sinful men and women, as we confess today, to do his work. Using his word and his sacraments, water, bread, and wine, joined to the word and promise of God, to create faith and to nourish faith. This is not optional. All Christians are called to this work. Some, like Pastor Rafa and myself, and we celebrated wonderfully last week his 15th year, and all of us to the priesthood of believers. This can be scary. It can be overwhelming, which is why it's important for us to practice confessing our faith together in God's house, in Bible class. This is where we come, where we are rebuked and restored in Christian faith. Someone who is unwilling to come to church is most often showing an unrepentant heart and is placing their salvation in jeopardy. For a malnourished faith can quickly become a starved faith and then a dead faith and, heaven forbid, unbelief. The stay-at-home Christian often ends up trading the true Christian faith for something that feels a little more comfortable, fits like a nice pair of pajama pants that you love to wear around the house all day. That is, your moralisms. Trusting that they will get to heaven by basically being morally good, whatever that is today, because the morals of our culture keep changing. It's insane how it keeps changing. And then socially just. We have to be socially just or you can't be morally good. Right? And what is social justice today? Apparently, to let the criminals out and to persecute anybody who wants to have them arrested or to protect their family. Oh, Lord, how things have turned upside down. Good is evil and evil is good. So Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. And if being morally good and socially just is what he means by that, then he lied to the thief on the cross. And he lied to the woman caught in adultery. And he lied to Matthew the tax collector and Zacchaeus and the very questioner in our text today. And Jesus is not a liar. It's really that simple. This text is clearly speaking about the end of time. And we have no idea when the Lord is going to return and shut the door, but we know this, it's going to happen. On that day, those without God-given faith will not be allowed to enter because to Him they are strangers. I do not know where you come from. Simply having head knowledge of who Jesus is will not save anyone. Jesus' brother, or half-brother, if it makes you happier, of our Lord, makes it clear when He says, "You believe that there is a God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble." Yet their faithless knowledge cannot save them. And they will hear Jesus say, "I tell you, I do not know where you came from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil." And for those who want to get rid of hell, the liberal theologians, us who don't want our loved ones judged because they stayed in their sins, etc., etc., Jesus makes it kind of blunt. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. This text offers, though, security for the Christian who lives in faith in Christ, trusting that Jesus is the founder and perfecter of that faith. Jesus has freed us from the fear of the door being shut, for He is the door and He knows us, for He has made us family, washing us in the font, feeding us at His table, giving us His very self so that we may have life and it everlasting. Death is no longer then our enemy. Judgment day need not be a cause for our anxiety, for death is swallowed up in Christ's victory. And for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, know that judgment day on your sin and my sin was meted out almost 2,000 years ago on the one who knew no sin, as Jesus bore all sin for all time on a Roman cross on a hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull, where He crushed the skull of the one who brought sin by tempting Adam and Eve. You see, faith knows that in Jesus Christ, victory over sin, death, and the devil, heaven has now been opened to all who believe in Him. And this is a lot of people. People will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And some who are last will be first, and some who will be first will be last. But most importantly for all of us, we'll be there by grace through faith on account of Christ alone. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.